Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I wasn't entirely clear what we're meant to read or talk about, so I just thought we'd just go on to the next verse. As far as I understand, it's the next verse in the sequence here in ISKCON Sandhan, I guess. At least this is the verse I was told to read. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 46. Ayam tu brahmana kalpa savikalpa udarita vidhi sadarano yatra sarga prakrita vikrita. Translation. This process of creation and annihilation described in summary herein is the regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It is also the regulative principle in the creation of Mahat, in which the material nature is dispersed. Okay. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a fairly extensive purport, so try to listen carefully. There are three different types of creation called Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, and Kalpa. In the Mahakalpa, the Lord assumes the first Purusha incarnation as Karanda Dakshai Vishnu, with all the potencies of the Mahatattva and the 16 principles of creative matter and instruments. The creative instruments are 11. The ingredients are 5. And all of them are products of Mahat, or materialistic ego. These creations by the Lord in his feature of Karanadakshai Vishnu are called Mahakalpa. The creation of Brahma and dispersion of the material ingredients are called Vikalpa. And the creation by Brahma in each day of his life is called Kalpa. Therefore, each day of Brahma is called a Kalpa. And there are 30 Kalpas in terms of Brahma's days. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.17 as follows. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyad brahmano vidu ratim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidu jana. In the upper planetary system, the duration of one complete day and night is equal to one complete year of this earth. This is accepted even by the modern scientist and attested by the astronauts. Similarly, in the region of still higher planetary systems, the duration of day and night is still greater than in the heavenly planets. The four yugas are calculated in terms of the heavenly calendars, and accordingly are 12,000 years in terms of the heavenly planets. This is called a Divya Yuga, and 1,000 Divya Yugas make one day of Brahma. The creation during the day of Brahma is called Kalpa. And the creation of Brahma is called Vikalpa. When Vikalpas are made possible by the breathing of Mahavishnu, this is called a Mahakalpa. There are regular and systematic cycles of these mahakalpas, vikalpas, and kalpas. In answer to Maharaj Parikshit's question about them, Shukadev Goswami answered in the Prabhaskanda of the Skanda Purana. They are as follows. And there is, it looks like, what, about 8 verses. I'll just read the translation, which is, it's a list then of the kalpas in a day of Brahma. In the day of Brahma, no. Okay. In the day of Brahma. Or each one is a day of Brahma. Each one, yeah, there are 30. Each one is a day of Brahma. So they make up a month of Brahma. So therefore the 30 kalpas of Brahma are Sweta Kalpa, Nila Lohita, Vamadev, Gatantara, Rourava, Prana, Brihat Kalpa, Kandarpa, Sadyota, Ishana, Dhyana, Saraswata, Udana, Garuda, Karma, Narasingha, Samadhi, Agneya, Vishnuja, Sora, Somakalpa, Bhavana, Supuma, Vaikunta, Archisha, Valikalpa, Vairaja, Gorikalpa, Maheshvara, and Paitri Kalpa. These are Brahma's days only, and he has to live months and years up to 100. So we can just imagine how many creations there are in kalpas only. Then again, there are vikalpas, which are generated by the breathing of Mahavishnu, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. Yes, yaika nishvasita kala matavalambya. Jivanti loma vilaja jagadantanatha. The Brahmas live only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. So the exhaling and inhaling of Vishnu are mahakalpas. And all these are due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for no one else is the master of all creation. The verse again, I am tu brahmana kalpa, savikalpa udharita, vidhi sadarano yatra, sarga prakrita vaikrita. This process of creation and annihilation described in summary herein is the regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It is also the regulative principle in the creation of Mahat, in which the material nature is dispersed. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bastya Chadeshtari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakti Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturibhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes, well, information about the process of creation. This is, we're just right at the end of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And It's the last chapter of the second canto, chapter 10. And there's been what's referred to here as a summary description of the process of creation by the Supreme Lord or through the agencies, by him through his agencies. Depends on the different, you know, aspects and elements in the whole process of creation. It's not just by him, like directly, that he's doing everything and manipulating everything, but some of it he's there. directly involved, at least as Mahavishnu. But then other parts, he's not directly involved, like as Brahma, when Brahma appears, and then Brahma becomes involved in his activities of creation. The Lord is at more of a distance. But of course, he is always, he's never just totally separated from the process, like a just completely external person or factor. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, how Lord Krishna is, he's there behind the scenes in the creation as if he's not involved. But there's involvement. But in some cases more direct, like in the activities of Mahavishnu, and other cases through the agency of Brahma. But whatever Brahma does, he does many things. But whatever he does, it's under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, anyway, it's a little complex, but interesting, all the same. These three, in the process of creation and annihilation, there are these three stages. Mahakalpa, which is directly from Mahavishnu. Vikalpa, Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, Kalpa, three levels. Mahakalpa, the very great level of the whole, just the entire material nature. Then Vikalpa, Brahma, with the universes manifesting, and then Brahma being placed in the universes, and then Kalpa, when Lord Brahma himself is actively engaged in the process of creation. So, of course, this is a very interesting subject. It's discussed here. It's discussed, of course, also in Brahma Samhita. Very nice description there. And in a sense, it's a little more simple. Little more simple, not too much, but a little more simple description of the process of creation from Mahavishnu, that at the end of the previous creation, then all the living entities are withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu. They all go into a state called susupti, or deep sleep, for a long time. Long time. Even for that matter, just to sort of complicate matters, time is withdrawn into Mahavishnu too. Hari Bol. The Kala Shakti, as we know it, it's happening right here, right here. And the way it's working, it's all withdrawn into Mahavishnu. When he inhales, then after some time, then he exhales. And when he exhales, he glances over the material nature, and through his glance, the living entities are injected into the, at that time, inert material nature. And then then the Ichcha Shakti, this is the Brahma Samhita's description, the Ichcha Shakti, the potency of the Lord's desire for the material world, particularly in the sense of his desire to help the conditioned souls create some sort of environment, you could say, in which the conditioned souls can become rectified and then go back to Godhead. Yeah. So that's the Ichcha Shakti, that's the potency of the desire of the Lord, and that is the desire of the Lord particularly in regard to the creation. And then the Kala Shakti. And then, at least according to Brahma Samhita, when the Kala Shakti, means the potency of time, contacts the modes of material nature which are inactive within the inert material energy at that time, when the Kala Shakti contacts the modes, and, well, the living entities have also been injected through the glands. So time stimulates the modes, and the modes stimulate the karma of the living entities, then the whole process really starts, or starts starting. Brahma, first of all, is stimulated into action. The living entities, up till that point, have been in a cocoon consisting of, at least it's described in those terms, consisting of their karma. But it's inert. It's inert. But Kala Shakti, the potency of time, stimulates their karma, and then things, they start getting going again, first of all, Lord Brahma. So that's the Mahatkalpa, is that whole process leading up to Brahma becoming stimulated and then appearing on top of the lotus flower. And then, you know, of course, there's a little time there, and he performs austerities, tapa, and then he meets the Lord and is instructed by the Lord. This is all the vikalpa stage of the whole process as described here. And then when he's instructed by the Lord and he understands, yes, this is now what I must do, then he starts his work. Then that's the kalpa. I remember 1973. I think it was just the very time it happened, although maybe it was actually late 72 when Prabhupada visited London. One devotee, Rabatanandan, was asking Prabhupada in a darshan about the process of creation, this whole process here. And so Prabhupada gave some description. And then coming to this point where we are now, more or less, or even just in the vikalpa part, from the time where Mahavishnu has done his work of stimulating and just injecting and so on, and then the process of Brahma finally coming up on top of the lotus, the vikalpa. So Prabhupada explained that the living entities, Lord Brahma, of course, appears on top of the lotus. He has come through the stem of the lotus from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He's come through the stem and up onto the top there. of the lotus. And the living entities, the other living entities, means you and me and company. We're also in the stem, but Brahma was at the top. So he came out first. We're at this point still waiting in the stem for Lord Brahma, you know, to go through his different experiences, and finally meeting the Lord, hearing the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam, and then getting into the process of creation. We're waiting in the stem. So Prabhupada explained all of that to this devotee. And the devotee asked Rabhatanandan, asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we understand this? And Srila Prabhupada replied, sort of famously, it is too much for your puppy brain. So when I just first joined, and then Prabhupada came, I was there in January. Prabhupada came, I think, in May. That was one of the things we heard. And I'm not exactly sure if Prabhupada had just said it at that time, or if he had said it in the previous, his previous visit. But it was one of the sort of the talks of the temple. Yeah. Prabhupada would come and sometimes say something, you know, striking, and it would just come out, oh, do you know what Prabhupada said? Yeah. And it would just be the buzz for the time being, what Prabhupada had just said. Or even we would get letters with those sorts of things. And it would become the talk, the subject of conversation for the devotees. So yes, our puppy brains. Yes. So it's interesting. And it's important, as mentioned here, it's this process of creation and annihilation described in summary herein. So it's just a summary, in brief, just sort of the essence of things in this regard. But at least, as it's presented here, we should try to digest as a sort of simple understanding of the process of creation. There is more to it. There's definitely more to it. But at least for our purposes, we should try and grasp as much as we can the description of the process of creation given here, and it's also there in other places in this canto and in the third canto. However, looking back through the verses, I noticed a very, really very interesting and important point. Yes, it's actually in verse 44, just two verses before. The great transcendentalists thus describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, means this whole process of creation. So the great transcendentalists thus describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. Yeah. So the meaning of that is that we should understand this description. It's like our duty. It's our duty to understand and try to grasp it. That summary, simple description, So, you know, we've got the basic idea in terms of the process of creation, but not that we are really to just focus on that to a very great extent and just become specialists in understanding and trying to explain the process of creation. There is more to it, and those other things more, they maybe are ultimately, at least, more important to us, and they're certainly more relishable than Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, and Kalpa, yeah, and all these things. They're interesting. But really, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chaktvadeham punar janma naiti mam eti sorajana. It is not wrong, I mean, it is right to give more attention to the appearance of the Lord, his pastimes, his interactions with his devotees, and for that matter, his descriptions of how to approach him, what sort of relationships we have with him, the process of reawakening and re-entering those relationships. That's of more interest. But having said that, these things we should grasp. At least we should get the basic idea. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada would criticize, point out the shortcoming of many people who feel, or some number of devotees, of different types of devotees, who at least in the most extreme cases, there are degrees, all sorts of degrees, but in the most extreme degree, feel that not only should we focus on the pastimes of the Lord, but we should focus on the rasa dance, the conjugal pastimes of the Lord, because they are the highest, which is true. But if Shukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, Vyasadev, Narada Muni, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead who spoke to Lord Brahma way back during that Vikalpa stage, if they really felt that all these things, like this process of creation, universal form, and so on, if they really felt that they were unnecessary and could be just overlooked, but rather just simply focus on the pastimes. And ultimately, as we said, in the case of some at least, particularly focus on the conjugal pastimes, then Srimad Bhagavatam would be different from what it is. After all, Srimad Bhagavatam is... We were just reading last night. How it's in Srila Prabhupada's class on, what was it? First Canto, chapter 16, I think verse 8. 116:8. So we read Prabhupada's translation, and then we read some of a class that he gave on that verse, where he was particularly focusing on book distribution. And there, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that this Srimad Bhagavatam, is just the topmost literature. It is just the topmost. And then, you know, it can also be said that in a certain sense, Chaitanya Charitamrita is topmost, would you say? more topmost, or something, in a certain sense. Although in a sense it's also Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat means it is Bhagavat, it is Bhagavatam. Anyway, that's a bit subtle. But anyway, in the class we read through a little bit of the class. Prabhupada was making that point, emphasizing this Srimad Bhagavatam is just the topmost all round. It's the topmost in terms of information, and it's the topmost in terms of nectar. That verse, I think it's 116:8, there's a few words in it. Pieta lilamritam. Pieta lilamritam, which means pieta, meaning drink. Drink this lila amrita. Just drink it. Just drink it and just drown in it, because it is just the topmost. So, but that very Srimad Bhagavatam, which is lila amritam, is also giving this sometimes even very difficult description of particularly different aspects of the material world. Fifth canto, of course, if you read fifth canto, parts of the fifth canto, description of the structure of the universe. Well, that is really, it's even more complicated and more difficult to understand than this description of the process of creation. In fact, it's considerably more difficult. Our devotees in Mayapur feel they have understood it sufficiently. And therefore, you know, they're doing the display of the universe, planetarium, all the structure of the universe. And, well, they seem convinced they've understood it sufficiently. But I must say, as the Bhagavatam was coming out back in those days, in the 70s, when the fifth canto came out, it was like 76, probably early 76 maybe. And the devotees were reading the fifth canto. Everyone, you know, these books would come out first time. So many devotees would read. But when the fifth canto came out and so many devotees read, it was like, what? Yeah, I think it means this. Well, no, maybe it means that. It was really very difficult. So, but it's interesting and it's very important. Pieta lilamritam. Drink the nectar of the lilas. That's what's being said about the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is sort of describing itself and how we should relate with it. And Prabhupada would sometimes criticize or point out the fault of those who would underemphasize or just underestimate the value and the importance of these types of sometimes quite technical and sometimes very difficult descriptions of different aspects of the creation or just the existence of the material world. Yes, so, but still, as we read this verse, what was it, 44? The pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. It's important to understand these features as much as possible, but there is greater nectar. There is greater nectar. So that is there. That is definitely there. The appearance of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, his pastimes, when he appears. They're very, very special for the devotees to understand really the deeper aspects of the personality of Godhead. Yes. So that is there. That is there. But we shouldn't underestimate the need to come to grips with these things. So, and again, well, Prabhupada in the purport talks about the scale, the different scales of time involved. The Mahakalpa, which is the process, the responsibility of Mahavishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu. The whole process of, first of all, creation is simply, according to his time, simply the time it takes for him to exhale, and then the winding up of it all is simply the time involved in him inhaling again and just ingesting it all and all of us. So that's one scale of time. We can all, why don't we just exhale and inhale? That's it. It's done. The whole thing. The whole, the lifetime of Lord Brahma. And plus, because, you know, there is the time of, like, anyway, the process, the time before Brahma actually comes out and starts living in those terms. But if we just take it as the lifetime of Brahma, what is it? Is it 33 trillion? It's 300. 311 trillion, 40 billion of our years, plus some time before, plus some time after. That's the just the of Mahavishnu. There you go. That's a time scale, type of a time scale. And then, well, yes, and then there's us, who may possibly live for 100 years by our sort of perception experience of time, or, you know, whatever it is, 60, 70 to 100, maybe something more in rare cases. But for Lord Brahma, his 100 years... is just like our experience of 100 years. At least that's how we understand it. That Prabhupada, we were told, you know, we were told many things. But one thing we were told in the very early days is that Prabhupada said, now we're in the middle of Brahma's day. Brahma, it's Brahma's lifetime. Lunchtime. Brahma's lunchtime now, which by our standard of life will go on for a long, long time. A major lunch break. And you know, there's the really interesting story of, what was his name? Anyway, the father of Revati, who became the wife of Lord Balaram 5,000 years ago. She, Revati, what was his name? Was it Revata? Yeah? So Revati, the daughter, was so extremely qualified that he, the father, Revata, he struggled to find a young man who was sufficiently qualified to be, you know, a suitable partner, husband for his daughter. You know, of course, there were so many candidates, but they were just not up to the standard, according to his understanding. So what he decided to do, he went to Brahmaloka and asked Lord Brahma. Well, Lord Brahma was busy, that's right, watching, if I remember correctly, a dance performance. So they had to wait. But then when the dance performance finished after, not a long period of time, I don't know, half an hour or an hour or whatever it may have been, then Lord Brahma received them. All right, yes, what can I do for you? And the father, Revata, he asked Lord Brahma, he explained, well, she's just so qualified. Please, who is there on earth who could be a suitable match for her? And Lord Brahma laughed and said, just since you've been here, this whatever it's been, an hour or so, many, many generations have come and gone on your planet Earth, because time just works differently. So anyone you may have thought possibly he could be suitable, he died. And his ancestors, they also died. And so many generations have come and gone since that time. But then Lord Brahma said, actually, shortly, just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, Lord Balaram will appear. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is just the perfect young man. And that's what happened. They returned, and she became the wife of Lord Balaram 5,000 years ago. So they went there, and while they were there, in their earthly bodies, somehow or other, the process of time worked differently on their bodies. Yeah, that even though back where their bodies were from, it was at least some thousands or maybe more than thousands of years. But for them, they experienced it like just an hour or half an hour, and their bodies just aged in the normal way as they would have. And then they returned, and they just re-entered into that sort of program of existence. If you follow the idea. Yeah. In other words, they went to Brahmaloka, and their bodies, just in terms of aging, just age like the bodies of people in Brahmaloka age. And they came back here, and their bodies started aging like the body's age here. Such is life. Anyway, so we need to at least be sort of, you know, conversant with these things. We need to be basically conversant enough. Although, of course, the Lord's appearance and activities and instructions about our relationship with Him, all that sambandha gyan about our relationship with the Lord and how to reawaken it, that's all there. It generally seems more interesting and stimulating and inspiring in Krishna consciousness than such things. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Process of creation ki.
Jai.
Any comments, questions, words of wisdom?
I'm trying to understand with my puppy brain, why should a Prabhupada place so much emphasis on the creation? I mean, not the creation, but the structure of the universe, that in Mayapur he will have in the TOVP such a sort of contrast between the ras of Pancha Tattva opening up the storehouse of love of God on the one side, and then the structure of the universe and the name of the temple being the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. Is it part of Srila Prabhupada wanting to defeat the scientists?
It's part of it.
The emphasis of it. Yeah.
It's part of it. It's sort of, you could say, all-inclusive. Because, you know, the structure of the universe and in fact details of the process of creation will be illustrated or explained in the displays and things. But then everything on up to Goloka Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna and their pastimes there will also be there. And the deities will be there. So, yeah, it's like a sort of a package presentation of everything, something like that. But, you know, it's very important for people to at least have access and understand as much as possible these things, rather than just what would be called the more esoteric or more intimate, more personal things. And Prabhupada really, really didn't appreciate when people would try to overlook these things and just focus on those other things. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the Gopi Bhava Club and Prabhupada's reaction. Yeah. And they were just taking things from Prabhupada's books and saying, and they tried to tell some of them, tried to tell Prabhupada that, you know, it's just what you've given us. But Prabhupada just really didn't accept it. So we had to understand the whole picture as presented by Srimad Bhagavatam. Although naturally certain parts will be more stimulating and enlivening, interesting than other parts. Any comment?
From what we are reading, that when Lord Balaram had married Revati, he had to use his plough to bring her down to.
I see.
And I was asking one devotee there, one sannyasi, and he said he didn't know what the reference of that was. But given the fact that there were different ages, it sounds reasonably true.
It sounds, yes. It was just a subject of discussion. It wasn't that you were reading somewhere.
No, you were saying that Balaram or Revati had married Lord Balaram.
Yeah.
But
not reading from somewhere.
No.
Just saying.
Yeah, I've heard it in lectures also.
I see. I've heard it too. Well, she was from a different yuga. Yeah. Maybe. Krishna grabbed the cheeks of Kupcha, who was a hunchback and, you know, really sort of, what would you say, a disabled type of person, and just lifted her up, and she became a beautiful young woman. So Lord Balaram, if he wants to take someone down a bit, he can do it. So in principle, we couldn't disagree. Sri Damodar Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class, Maharaj.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the eligibility to access the more esoteric or intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There was that exchange with Prabhupada and that one Indian couple who, after a program of the Prasad, came and, I think Prabhupada was living, staying with them, and kept asking Prabhupada to tell them the Rasa Leela,
yes.
The Rasa Leela. And
right.
Prabhupada kept saying, no, you know, you have to be very qualified. In this.
Right.
Eventually they said, well, you know, Swamiji, we are qualified to hear, please speak.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada said, well, you may be qualified to hear, but I'm not qualified to speak.
Right. I heard Giriraj Maharaj tell that story. He was Prabhupada was staying with them, and they're sort of pious and affluent Hindu couple, and they approached a few times, and one time, the final time, they both came dressed in saffron. You know, we're ready. Means, you know, renounced. And then Prabhupada, so now please tell us. And Prabhupada said that, you know, I'm not qualified, as he said. Well, yes. You know, at least one component in terms of qualification. It's just one component, but it is one, is to have approached the whole Srimad Bhagavatam and gone through it to that point. If one literally jumps over to those parts, that is just out. I mean, not that it's the only qualification, but it has to be there. We approach from the lotus feet, the first canto, and we go through everything, step by step, up to that point. That has to be there. Of course, other things have to be there too. But definitely that has to be there.
I think Prabhupada wrote it or said it, that if one sincerely reads carefully on the first through the ninth, and one would be a pure devotee eligible to hear something that becomes qualified to that extent to hear.
He becomes
self-reliant.
Well, that, yeah, it's like that. Mm-hmm. Or even you will meet Krishna in the 10th canto. Yes. That was another buzz when we first joined. Yeah. That way, how we must read the whole Bhagavatam. Yes. And then by the time we come to the 10th canto, you'll meet Krishna, you'll see Krishna in the 10th canto. The smiling face of the Lord. Maharaj. I couldn't say it in French, but would you like to give some comment?
creation is very complicated. With our human friend, but one little thing I know from our Prabhupada that said that if the approach of creation, if you are like a scientific approach of creation, is very difficult to understand.
Yes.
But if you have a devotional approach of creation,
mm-hmm.
it's like you are in the house of your father. You may know all the rooms, where the kitchen is, where the bathroom are, everything like that. Very, very, very simple to understand. But if you don't know, and you want to make a scientific approach, you may not understand anything. So
yes,
yeah. So as we are devotees, so we see that the universe is like the house of our father.
Yes.
So we know different room, different situation, not difficult for us, because we are the son of Krishna. But other people who are not devotees, it will be even for devotees, it's still difficult. But for those who are not devotees,
it's too difficult.
More complicated.
Yes. Yeah. Très difficile.
Yeah.
How much? Trop difficile. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Anyone else? Any other points? Svetadvip Prabhu, Namacharya Prabhu.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That was very nice. But Srila Prabhupada also, he gave Krishna book.
That's right.
So we distributed it everywhere.
Yes. Yes, I remember when the Krishna book... Well, the Krishna book had come out, the big ones, too big, like maybe, I don't know, A4 size, or definitely a bigger format than this. Quite a bigger. With silver cover and picture. Anyway, pictures on the front. And we had received them in London, and they had been sitting there from before I joined. And then... we formed a party, which I volunteered to join. You know, the books had been there like 6 months or something. And they were literally just sitting there. So we formed a party to distribute them. And one of the things was that, you know, if people read this, they're really meeting Krishna. Because it's the smiling face of the Lord. And if they just read the whole Krishna books, you know, they may become Krishna conscious. This is what we were told. But the interesting thing is, to me, that Prabhupada in the Krishna books, there's the pastimes, but he's woven the philosophy in amongst the pastimes. So it's not just pastimes. Yeah. Prabhupada was very focused on doing that sort of thing and very expert. The thing was, Srila Prabhupada felt, we were told, that he might not live long enough to reach to do the 10th canto. You know, the actual, like, in Bhagavatam format. So therefore, he did the 10th canto first, before he reached there. I mean, he was only up to, like, the second canto, I think. I remember driving to the docks in London to pick up the third canto in 73. It had just come out. But the Krishna book was already out. And one thing, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to have access to it. But very important point. Prabhupada wanted to make sure that the 10th canto was available in an authorized form, rather than just leave it up to us, you know, in the event he didn't live long enough. Just leave the 10th canto up to us to deal with. is a bit, you know, bit of a heavy challenge. So therefore he produced the Krishna books, which the devotees, when they did the 10th canto, they were always referring to, and there are references here and there to the Krishna books. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.